6. We'll let our little ones be dismissed for children's Bible time. Mr. Frank. And Miss Rodriguez. And Psalm 66. Good to see Leroy here this evening. Leroy and I have a bond that you will never understand. We've walked in similar shoes and done some similar things, and appreciate him and his friendship. Good to have him here tonight. I'd like to say he comes just because he likes the preacher, but he's here because he likes chili. He's a good chili maker, and so he brought some chili over this evening. And as Matthew Roman would say, the preaching may be bad, but the chili will be good. So that's after the service this evening. And Brother Souza, I hope that you made some good, nothing healthy downstairs at all whatsoever. You are my last hope. What, does your wife not let you cook? Is that it? You are forbidden? She doesn't. It's sad. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. The psalmist goes on to say a number of things. Dropping down to verse 19. Verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. What would cause God to turn away his ear from your prayer? What caused God to do that? And people are, you're looking at me, I can see. God would never turn his ear away from my prayer, but he would. And that is troubling to a person who is unsaved. I was at the hospital, and I was probably, 30 years ago, I was ministering to a young couple. And they were both believers, and they knew God as their Savior. Their little baby was in the neonatal intensive care unit, and they asked me to come in and pray for them, and I did. I went in there and prayed for the little one, and then I said, you step out of the room with me, and somebody stayed in, some family member stayed out of the room. Mom and Dad stepped out of the room. We sat in a little area. I said, it's great that I can pray for your child, but what is sad is that you can't pray for your child. Now, they're believers. They knew Christ as their Savior. But why wouldn't God attend to their prayers? Is that troubling to you, that you might pray and God would not hear you? Look at verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, psalmist. So here I am as the preacher, and I'm here to tell you that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What about the priest or the pope? If he regards iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear him. Well, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not. It's not they cannot. He will not. He will not hear you. I'd like to bring you a message this evening entitled, Regarding Iniquity. That's what it says. I'm reading from this passage and I'm thinking, man, it just seemed like this week, these types of burdens coming in, little Luke being hurt, now Esperanza in the neonatal unit, Just people carrying a terrible, hard, difficult burdens, and they need to be able. You need to be able to pray in a crisis. I need to be able to pray. You need to be able to be confident that when the pastor prays for you, that God is hearing, and you should be able to have that confidence. It is so important that the preacher walks right. But it is important for mom and dad to walk right, because your children, like you expect your preacher to walk right, your children need you to walk rightly. But if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts this evening. I want to be a help, and we need to understand this. It is biblical. It is here. The psalmist understood this concept. But we think we can live any way we want and without repercussion. And Father, may we be convicted and convinced this evening that we need to walk rightly. Right. Father, I pray for that person that does not know your salvation. They have never humbled their heart to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And even as I pray, they have no idea what that even means. Now, they are not a child of God. They are a child of their father, the devil, and they walk in their sin. They have never received forgiveness. They've never come to you in repentance and faith. They're all alone in this world. No one to help. I cannot imagine that. Father, we need you. I need you. We need your help. We need to be confident, those that know you as their Savior, we need to be confident, as the psalmist is, when we pray that you hear us. We need your help. We cry out this evening for understanding. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The psalmist said in verse 19, "But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer," which tells me that the psalmist is not regarding iniquity in his heart. "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer." Why is that? Because verse 18, the psalmist is not regarding iniquity in his heart. What does it mean to regard iniquity? I'll just say, it is astounding, vitally important to understand, because this Bible truth has disastrous consequences for the believer and those that you care about. "The Lord will not hear me." It will not. So let's start out with defining the terms this evening. What is iniquity? If the text, and it does, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So what is iniquity? Let's define that. Webster's 1828 says, "It's injustice, unrighteousness, deviation from rectitude." Rectitude, that's a big word. What does that mean? Morality or deviancy. When you deviate from that which is moral and right, that is iniquity. That is iniquity. When you deviate from decency, that is iniquity. A sin. It is a crime. It is wickedness. It can be an act of injustice. I'm not talking about social justice. I'm talking about at a high level, perversion in the court. Pilate was not just when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I find no fault in this man," and then sentenced him to die on the cross. That is not right. That is not just. That is not legal, but he did it. But let's bring that down to where we live. Because mom and dad, in your home, you serve as a judge. Now, you're not going to sentence anyone to death. Although, my mother would not say this because she was just too sweet and kind. But I have heard mothers say, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." I don't think that moms can actually do that. But moms have a lot of power as a judge. So two children come and they're fighting in the home, and you preside over their court case. And you decide if one is right and one is wrong. And sometimes the judge says, "You know what? I don't want to deal with this. Just go to your room." That's not just. But don't we get frustrated sometimes and just send both children, "Both go to your room. You're both being punished." Well, that's not right. It's not just on a local home level. But it happens. An act of injustice, it's called iniquity. A want of holiness.
a person that knows that we have been commanded, be ye holy as I am holy, and we just say, you know what? I don't want to be holy today. I want to be corrupt, a want of holiness, a want of instead of holiness, we have a desire towards depravity. And I understand that we live in a day and age where the internet just fuels that lust that we're talking about in Samson's life on Sunday morning. Fuels it. And so guard yourself. Just be careful. In the principle of first mention, iniquity arrives, shows up on the scene in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. And the text says, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Which tells me that in that first instance, that it is possible that iniquity can increase. That there are degrees of iniquity. That there is the garden level of iniquity, and there are people that build on that and take that to a whole new level. And God's just saying of the Amorites, they are a people that are prone to depravity, immorality, indecency, and they're building on that depravity every day. It's not yet full. They've got a lot in their basket that is wrong, but they're just putting more and more in it every day. That's not a good thing. Job, who is the oldest written record, lists iniquity 27 times in just that first writing. God talks about iniquity. God uses Job to talk about that. In Job chapter 4, verse 8, even as I have seen, they that plow in iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Again, the oldest written record, Job writing, I'll read it to you again, even as I have seen, Job has seen this with his eyes. They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. In the New Testament, Paul writing, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We know that from the New Testament. Many do not know that from the book of Job. You plow iniquity, sow unrighteousness, sow iniquity, you'll reap the same. Job chapter 6, verse 29, return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. And so Job, in that sixth chapter, in writing, they're talking about sin in the life, and they understood that, man, if I'm going to be guilty of something, I do not want it to be iniquity, depravity, indecency, immorality. I don't want it to be that. Now, we know from Job's life that that was not the case. But his vocalized desire is, I don't want that to be the case in my life. Job chapter 6, verse 30, if there is iniquity in my tongue, in the tongue, in the mind, in the actions, in the attitude. Why? Because it's serious. And from that first writing, that old writing, book of Job, we understand from Job that iniquity is something that is to be rooted out and destroyed, not something that is to be plowed and sown. It's serious. 27 times it is mentioned. We'll not look at all 27, but another is found in the 15th chapter, the 16th verse. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. We would like to think that iniquity is a 2025 thing, that with all the technology that we have, but in the oldest written record, Job, iniquity was a problem. Iniquity, abominable and filthy, man, which drinketh iniquity, immorality, indecency, injustice like water. People walk around with their water bottles now, don't they? They just drink and drink and drink. Young people, teenagers and younger, are you listening to me? You go on a road trip with a preacher, you are not allowed to drink water. Why?
Because 15 minutes later, then you got to go to the bathroom. And we've only left here 15 minutes. You are drinking way too much water, just telling you. And Job said, people just drink iniquity like they drink water. It's insane. Oh, why would you do that? But people do. People do. Job chapter 34, verse 22, there is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. And so Job is recognizing in this old record that iniquity is a problem. Iniquity is something that I don't want to be accused of in my life. Iniquity is consumed in the lives of men like water, and those that are involved in iniquity cannot hide. Cannot hide. So when it comes to iniquity, we should understand the seriousness of it. And it's a big word. But God has added to that word in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at what it means to regard. Regard appears for the first time in Genesis chapter 45, verse 20. And Joseph says to his brothers, Joseph is in the land of Egypt. He has now made himself known. The famine has been going on. His brothers have come. They've gone back home. And now finally Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers. He says, it's a time of famine. Go back home. Get Dad. Bring Dad here to Egypt. And I'm going to take care of you while you're here. Go back and get Dad. Regard not your stuff. That's the first appearance. That's the first appearance in the Bible. What is Joseph saying? He's saying, you know, your stuff is junk, right? So leave all. How would you like to make a move and to have somebody say, "Don't bother packing up your house. Just when you get to get your new location, just buy everything new. Wouldn't that be cool?" If the military said that to you, can you imagine? Don't. We're not going to ship your stuff. We're going to let you buy all new stuff. That would be cool, right? And so Joseph is saying to his brothers, forget, it's just stuff. Forget about it. Don't regard it. Don't pay it any attention. Don't worry about packing it. Don't worry about bringing it. Don't regard your stuff. Just get yourselves to Egypt, and I'm going to take care of you. And that's the first appearance. So what does that mean to us when it comes to iniquity in Psalm 66? Webster, in defining it, says, to regard means to look towards something, or to point towards something, or to be directed towards something, to observe it, to desire it with partiality. So for Joseph's brothers, it would be, I've got to have my special pillow or my special, I've got to bring that with me. I mean, it's just part of me. It's just part of my life. I've just got to have it. To attend as to a thing that affects our interests and happiness. To fix the mind upon it as a matter of importance. The grandkids come into the house and they break something. It's just stuff. Just stuff. One of our folks this morning showed me, they had a little bump that they did on their car. And they said, Pastor, look at this. And I said, are you okay? And they said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, we can replace the car. It's just stuff. We can't replace you. If you're in an accident, you call me up. I'll ask you if you're okay. Because you are what that's matter. Your car is just a thing with four wheels that provides you transportation. It's not something to be emotionally attached to. But if you get emotionally attached to iniquity, the Lord will not hear you. Are you emotionally attached to iniquity? Is it something that you just have to have or do or focus on? So you put the two together. What does it look like? So here are some Bible examples of regarding, fixated on iniquity. David and, what's her name? David and Bathsheba, you know the name. David should have been out at war
fulfilling his obligation as the king and leader of the military forces of Israel, but instead he stayed behind, went up on the rooftop, fixated his gaze on a woman who was not clothed, bathing, and said, "Get her." His servant said to David, "Is not this, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" They named him. But he didn't care. Why? Because he was fixated on iniquity. He desired it. And he said, "I'm the king, I can do whatever I want." And I'll just tell you, there are preachers that say, "I'm the preacher, I can do whatever I want." But that's not what this book says. There are some parents that say, I'm the mother, I can do whatever I want." That's not what this book says. And we know, it makes the papers. "I'm the police officer, I can do anything I want." But I can tell you that I personally read, and I make it a point to read, the Internal Affairs Quarterly Report every quarter. I can tell you from the very top levels of the police department right down to the bottom, there are men and women that are fired from our police department every quarter for regarding iniquity. And they can't hide. They can't hide. It's really hard to hide. Sama said it's impossible to hide. Possible. Sodom and they regarded iniquity. And they were warned. The angel came in and said to Lot, "Get your family, get your loved ones, get your children, and get them out of the city." But the Bible says that it seemed, as Lot went around and tried to beg his children to get out of the city, because God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because they regarded iniquity. They fixated on it. They set their desire on it. And the Bible says that his relatives, he seemed as one that mocked. In other words, they looked at Lot and said, "Really? You, of all people, are going to accuse me?" And they laughed him. And in the end, they all stayed in the city. And they were all destroyed. Regarding iniquity. They desired it. Israel grew weary when Moses was absent. Moses was on the mount, and God has given him the Ten Commandments, and he was gone for a while. And when the cat is away, the mouse will play. And Israel set its eyes on iniquity, they desired it, and went to Aaron and said, "Build us a calf." And Aaron built them a golden calf, and they danced and worshiped the idol that Aaron had made, and all kinds of shedding of clothing and immorality went on at that event. That is the Christian nation that is supposed to be a light to the world. Just remind you that we are supposed to be a light to the world. And you're tired of hearing me say, "Let your light so shine before men that they see Jesus." But that's what we are supposed to be. But when we set our eyes on iniquity, when we regard it and desire it and live for it and enable it, and feed that flesh, the Lord will not hear you when you pray. He can, but he will not. Ahab was covetous, and he had a wife that was conniving. And when Naboth would not give them the vineyard, Jezebel said, "Oh, honey, don't you cry, because you're the queen, king, and I'm the queen, and we're just gonna kill him." And they killed Naboth and took his vineyard. What is that? We're guarding iniquity no matter who it hurts. Well, I've never done anything quite that serious. How about this name? Judas Iscariot. What did Judas say? He was with Jesus Christ for 3 years. Was baptized, some say, by John the Baptist or by Jesus Christ. But in the end, he was just putting on a show in church. Because he didn't love God for who God was and for God's salvation. He was looking to be the treasurer of the newest, most powerful nation on the face of the earth. He expected Jesus Christ to be a king. He was going to control the money, and he was going to get filthy rich off of it. And when he saw that Christ was not going to make himself king, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Because money was what he was interested in. The receipt of it and the theft of it. What is that? He was fixated on monetary gain, no matter who he had to hurt or who he had to steal from to get it. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4. What was his? He was fixated on how powerful he was and that he was the king of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. And even though he was warned by God a year previously, he said, Is this not great Babylon that I have built? And that moment God smote him. Because he was fixated on his own personal pride. I say, well, Pastor, I'm not a king of a nation. You're king of your castle. It's called your home. How are you ruling? Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? Ananias and Sapphira, their desire was just to be looked upon as powerful people in church. And so everybody was given land, and they were making a big to-do. Hey, look at Barnabas, and look what he has done. And wow, man, they wanted that. They wanted the acclaim of the congregation. And so they said, well, we're going to do that. We're going to sell a piece of ground, and we're going to give all the money. And then it sold for more than they thought they were going to get. And they're looking at all that money and thinking, nobody will know if we give, 10% or 20% or maybe even 50%. I don't know what they had and what they kept, but I know that they lied to the Holy Spirit and to the people and said, oh yeah, we gave it all. But they didn't, because they wanted the acclaim. They could have kept it. They could have said, you know, we changed our mind. We're not going to give it all. But they lied, because they wanted that notoriety. And they died. I'm just looking to get prayers answered. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Goncalo Oliveira, Venezuelan tennis pro, ranked number 77 in the world, failed a drug test. How did he fail a drug test? You take drugs, right? No, this person said, I kissed somebody, and from the kiss, wait a minute, Karen Whitaker's not buying this one. Karen's just going, really? A kiss? Yeah, that's what they said. You know what? I guess, maybe you can get a positive drug test from a kiss. No? No, Deborah's not buying that either. And neither did the committee. They said that you cannot prove that your ingestion, that the presence of drugs in your body is not intentional. I don't know if they said that you knew the other person was on drugs and you kissed them, and even if you did get drugs, positive drug test from the kiss, then it's just, yeah, crazy, isn't it? It's insane. Yet we think, as Christians, knowing what we know about God, that we're going to get cozy with the world, and it's not going to affect us. But it does. So how does this impact my life? I think it already has. But if I regard, hold in respect, affection, admiration, if I do something that affects my conduct, that is in fact iniquity, sin, crime, wickedness, act, in word or deed, if I focus on something, if I enable wickedness, if I participate in it, you can absolutely choose to do that. And people do. But you cannot control the consequences. David couldn't, Sodom and Gomorrah couldn't, Ananias and Sapphira couldn't, Ahab and Jezebel couldn't, and you and I can't control the consequences. You can absolutely choose, but you cannot control the consequences. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Read that verse with me. Say it out loud, will you, with me? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's do it again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not. Is this a big deal? Let's ask some Bible characters. Let's ask Peter. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Peter's in the water. He's going down. And he cries out a very simple prayer. Save me! Save me! And Jesus reached down. We were there, like, 6 weeks ago? And caught him. According to Psalms 66, verse 18, if Peter had regarded iniquity in his heart, Jesus Christ would have ignored his pleas and he would have gone down in the deep. Real life consequences for Peter. But Peter's able to say, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And grabbed them and pulled them out of the water. Right? Here's another one. Canaanite woman. Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. Canaanite woman comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And what does she need? She needs the Savior's help. And so she cries out to Christ to help her with her daughter. And the Lord hears her and answers her prayer. Mom and Dad, you got a child that's vexed? You want God to hear your prayer? Canaanite woman will stand here this evening and say, I'm glad that I did not regard iniquity in my heart. And I'm glad when I cried out in for my daughter to be helped that the Lord heard my prayer. In the book of Psalms, we see David cried out, Lord, help me, no less than 9 times. 9 times. And sometimes it's a personal need. Sometimes it's a family need. Sometimes it's a crisis of faith. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But the fervent prayer of a man that regards iniquity in his heart is worthless. And it doesn't matter what kind of clerical garb they put on. If they regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear them. So what's your need this evening? It is a choice. A choice with consequences here and now. Sin is a momentary lapse. And that happens. But regarding iniquity is not a momentary lapse. It's not going home this evening and straying over the speed limit and have one of the kids saying, "You're over the speed limit. You're a sinner." And you bring it back down. No. Regarding iniquity is driving 30 miles an hour over the speed limit every time you get in the car. It's just your pattern of life. Sooner or later, the popo are going to get you. And the lights are going to go on. They're going to pull you over and give you a ticket. Take you to jail. Sin is a momentary lapse. Regarding iniquity is a deeper, habitual state of moral corruption. Iniquity often involves an intentional and repeated wrongdoing, and it brings with itself a curse and destruction. What should we do? We should avoid it. We should maintain a closer relationship with God. We should obey God's commands. We should seek forgiveness. Psalm 119, 176, "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray, not perfect, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." What should we do? Avoid it. Deceit, pride, self-exaltation. Because iniquity, regarding it, is repeated acts of wrong, knowingly offended. And what's the problem? Read Psalm 66, 18 with me again. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing me to share this Bible study with our folks this evening. And we have a church, as is normal with others. We have many burdens. We have little babies that need prayer. We have teenagers that are strained. We have moms and dads that need to have their prayers answered. And Father, I pray that we would understand that if we give iniquity a place, if we elevate it, that child that is vexed is not going to get the help that they need. That we, in moments of desperation, are going to cry out, but that cry is not going to be heard. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this evening, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and say, "Preacher, thank you for that this evening. I needed to hear that. That was a help to me. Pray for me that God would help me not to regard iniquity." And I'll pray for you. Hold your hand up for just a second. Let me make my eyes around the room to see you and pray for you. Father, I thank you for folks that are just, they desire to have their prayers answered. They desire to be people, that effectual, fervent person that can pray for others, for their family, for their church, for the needs of others in the church, for this precious little child in the NICU, for little Luke. They want to be that person whose prayers avail much. Father, I pray that you'd help us as a church family not to regard iniquity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart this evening. I'm not saved. I don't know what it means to be born again, to be a child of God. I've never accepted the gift of God, which is eternal life. I just don't know what it means to be born again. That's foreign to me. But I feel like God is speaking to my heart that I need His salvation, His forgiveness. And tonight, God is speaking to me, and I want you to pray for me." And you slip your hand up and hold it up for a minute, and I will pray for you. Let's stand to our feet, head bowed and eyes closed. The piano is playing, the altar is open.